Anything you can, anything you say will be held against you, right? In a court of law. All right. I call them stages of bonding. I call them stages of bonding. Okay. You may see this as in other place as group life development, or you could see, you may see this in other places as stages of group management. All of that stuff is simply saying how your group is coming together and how the dynamics of your group are really, really coming together. Okay. The first stage is befriending. That's usually along the first 2 weeks. People are starting to say, okay, do I really belong here? What am I doing here? Is this going to work for me? They're just trying to kind of feel the flow of things. So in this stage, I call it befriending because you're just trying to start out a relationship. You're just really trying to make a solid connection. That's befriending. Then you have bending. During the bending stage now, you see that things go more deeper, okay? When we first started out, I started playing games with you where everybody can count, okay? Very general, very easy to connect with. And then the next day, I had you do what? Peel off toilet paper and say some things about yourself. So it's getting a little more personal now. Okay. So in the befriending stage, usually around 3 to 5 weeks, or 3 to 4 weeks, I would say, around the fourth week, people start to bend. You'll hear it in their language. They start to refer to the group as our group, and possessive pronouns start to come out at this time. All right, so that's in the bending stage. You'll even hear them start to talk about doing things that are inherently Adventist in the group, because they're now being affected by the culture and they're bending toward the culture of Adventism. So even though you haven't studied the Sabbath yet, you may even hear them start to say, oh, Sabbath is coming, so I have to get off from work early on Friday so I could prepare XYZ. So you'll hear that along the bending stage. All right, then the next stage is the blending. When you're blending as a group, that means that your group is now just about at that point where you are really making solid connections, where you are really getting deeper, where you're really starting to put forth ideas and you feel comfortable enough to share more of yourself. So things are now blending. After blending stage, you move into bonding. That means now your group is really fused together. You are family now. Everything, this happens along maybe the fifth, sixth week. You really see it start to come together and really people start to open up and share their hearts with you in a deep way. I had a guy who was a part of a group and he came into the group. And he started out like as a tough guy, where nothing really affected him, nothing really impacted him. You want to come in closer? Okay. We have chairs. No, we have chairs for you. Yeah. Come on, skateboarding.
These mornings are getting earlier and earlier.
Yeah. Meeting time. Come right in. All right. So I had a guy. He came to the group. He was tough. Okay. Everybody kind of warming up to each other, showing emotions, stuff like that. He was just tough. And I knew, I said, there's something with this guy. I said, there's something. I mean, he's not showing any emotion. He's just tough. Wow. So I made it a point as the leader, like I said yesterday, to get to know him. So I talked to him personally. Hey, can we go out and have a burger and fries together at the... He says, sure, I'll let you know. Okay, this is now about the fifth week he's been coming. He's a young adult, and we were doing a video lesson series, okay, called I Am Second. where people are sharing, young adults are sharing. You can find that. That's a beautiful series, video series, by the way. If you do working with young adults, all right, you go there. It's not an Adventist series, but they just relate to life issues, how to deal with anger. They deal with being homeless, how you relate to being homeless. And these are people who are actually homeless, suicidal, real issues that young adults face. All right. And so we were just doing this, and it came to the point where we were dealing with grief. And this guy all along showed no signs of bonding with our group, just none. Wow, that scared me. Bonding, he showed no sign of bonding. And when we showed that video, he sat there and we just saw tears rolling down his eyes. From tears, it went to a and then it went to an all out. He placed that tough exterior out there to shield the vulnerability of his heart, that he was dealing with grief. He had just had a friend very close to him got killed tragically, and that hit him hard. So coming to our group, he was soaking it all in but showing no signs, until we hit that video lesson and he just let it all out. And from then, we were good friends. Sad reality is, he was 23 years old and he just died about a month and a half ago. Came to our group all along and he died. Nobody could understand what happened. He just fell and died. Doctors can't explain it. They're still waiting the results of an autopsy, but he died. The point is, people are all different. And do not take it for granted that they're coming to your group and they are not showing signs of bonding. As they are going along, the mere fact that they keep coming, it's impacting them. So make sure that you stay along the journey. So bonding is that one. Right alongside bonding comes bleeding. Not literal. And sometimes it might be. I was working with a young adult group. Meeting was over. They were just hanging out. Kids were just hanging out. House was in a nice neighborhood. I had left already. And I got a phone call. Pastor, somebody talked about somebody's mama in the group. A big fight broke out and the police is on the scene. I had to leave my warm bed and my warm wife, which was hard to do, but I had to get up and go. Got there, bloodied eyes, bloodied noses. The group was at its 8th or 9th week, almost ready to end. But the group was bonded so deeply that the guys felt that they could say anything to anyone in the group. One person didn't take it too right. And I said this yesterday to, I think it was group two. Whenever you have more than one person in a room long enough, conflict will arise at some point. In some way, shape, or form. You have to be ready for it. if it's handled carefully, you would see that that same conflict could have the potential of pulling your group together even more than if it did not exist. So after bonding and then bleeding comes mending. It's the leader's responsibility to make sure that whatever the conflict was, it's resolved carefully and properly. If you handle the bleeding stage right, the mending stage makes your group stronger. All right? And I have all of the facets there that you can look at in the book that will give you tips on that. The mending. And then after the mending, we have the sending stage. This is when your group is done. The 10 weeks is over now. Okay? How do you send them? I talked about that communion service. That creates a feeling of finality all on its own. All right? And it creates a feeling of intimacy that the group would have shared over the 10 weeks. And so we put that in there so that you could really round it off nicely so that your group can go. And then in the journal that I have there, you have a page where you can do autographs, get autographs of your group members and little notes to remember them by and stuff like that. And you keep the journal as a keepsake. All right. So make sure that you have all of these facets in mind, because that's how you will see your group go along in the stages of bonding. Any questions? No?
I have one question. So would you then, at that point, at the end, move on to, or is the expectation that small group, the people that were involved in the small group would then be probably impressed to go start another small group of their own, or what is the expectation?
Who? You mean the leader or the group members?
At the end of the 10 weeks. Do you just start again with the same group of people? Or do you?
It depends on where you are. Okay? No pastor could ever preach the same sermon twice. No matter how hard he tries. They're going to be one or two words, three words, four words, a paragraph or two. That's going to be different. No matter how hard you try. Okay? So even if you have the same people, you will not have the same experience twice. That being said, you may be in a context where it is very, very vital for you to literally start with a fresh set of people.
Right. Yeah, I understand that piece.
But those who want to stay with you for the journey, don't push them away. Okay. Let them come.
But with after completing the 10 weeks, have you seen where your group members moved on from this small group that you have trained to starting a small group of their own as well?
Oh yes, inherent within the process is that same thing. Okay, you identify an apprentice leader. Once you pull your core group together, all right, you identify somebody that you can train, somebody that would be along with you, pound for pound, blow for blow, step by step. Okay. And you let that person know, I see good leadership qualities in you. At the end of this 10 weeks, we'll let you take about four of these persons from this group and start a group of your own. I'm going to come to that. I may need, let me transition into that presentation to show you how this could spawn into something really powerful in a local church.
Yeah. Yes. My question may be similar to what Judith is asking here. Supposing that the people in the group that we're talking about, as a group of people who have not had exposure to to Jesus Christ or Christianity before. So in other words, they're coming in, as it were, cold. And in these 10 weeks, we're introducing them to, your thing is, you got Jesus, and I love that, so that they learn to understand why Jesus came and what he can do for us. At the end of 10 weeks, hopefully we've achieved a great deal, and this group now have become excited about some things. They're not yet quite ready for baptism, if that's, an ultimate thing that we might be interested in happening for them, and so on. So at the end of the 10 weeks, we've had the communion that you're talking about, and that's wonderful too, so a sort of a finality to the group. But in a sense, I'm still left with, where do they go from here? In terms of relationship to church, they haven't been into a church maybe yet in their lives. How do we go from that point with people who've started from scratch, from nothing, and they're learning and they're getting excited? It seems like to cut them off at this point and say, well, look, we're finished with their group, they may just go back to where they were before, and life will, I'll say, well, that was an experience we had, but it didn't lead anywhere.
Okay, and that's a very good question. Here's what we recommend. When your group is meeting, there is a corporate wing and a community wing. Remember me telling you about that from maybe Tuesday or so? In the corporate wing, the church is responsible for the resources of the group. The church is responsible for helping to fund the group. The church is responsible for making sure that the group is healthy and strong. That's the church's role. There's a community wing to it, which would be the other wing of the bird, which means that the church, that the small group is in the community, connecting with people in the community, bringing people into the group, connecting people to the group. Both wings have to be healthy if the bird is going to fly. So, in that community wing, when you are there, it's not divorced from the corporate wing. So, there has to be a correlation where, at that strategic point, I hope Debbie brings that. I prepared for you a document that I normally give to church pastors, okay, when I'm doing seminars with them concerning small groups. But I'll give it to you because I'm getting the question, similar questions to this all week long. How does it look in my local church? What connections we make? And so that document will tell you how the process goes from start to finish, and how the church now connects with the group and marry them. In your particular situation, okay, where you go to church, your church is not over here and your small group is over here. So you say to them, okay, when we're meeting here, all right, we are part of a church group, okay, and you feel free to come over to our church group and worship with us and see what it's like. You're not divorcing the group from the church, okay? The end of it is we want them at some point to be baptized. That's what we want. And we can't just say we don't want that. We desire that. But we're not pushing them or forcing them, okay? But they are aware that our church exists, okay? And you would find, invariably, some of them will even ask you once they get comfortable. So we're studying here. Is this non-denominational? Or what faith is this from? Or they will, some of them will ask you that kind of question. All right? But you don't hide from them where you are or who you are or where you belong. All right? That corporate wing has to be attached to the community wing. And the community wing has to know it's attached to the corporate wing for the bird to really fly well. Okay? So, When you get the document, you'll be able to read through it. All right. I wanted to kind of deal with that document, but since I didn't see it, I went to this. Okay. Because it will show you. Get your pastor on board first. Okay. Then you call the pastor. We'll call an elders board meeting. I'm gonna just go over it because I don't see it yet. Let me just do it quick. Elders board meeting. The elders board now has that as the only item on the agenda because we're moving the church in a direction of small groups where it wasn't before. If it was before, then you're moving into another phase of small group ministry. You follow? After you do that, then you call a board meeting. The pastor has a one-item agenda. It's only evangelism and it's only about small groups. Small groups cannot be seen as a program of your church. It has to be seen as the life of the church. If not, it will die. Okay, so now we're connecting all the dots. From there, the board agrees this is the direction that we want to go in, makes a recommendation to the church and business session. The church and business session say, wow, this is a wonderful plan, a wonderful a process of evangelism. And they say, yes, we're going to go on it. Immediately, the pastor makes a presentation on small group ministry and seek to get volunteers who will be a part of the process. These volunteers now go through 8 weeks of training. Okay, along with the 8 weeks of training, you're doing what I like to call 7 weeks of prayer. Okay, all I did was create some little documents. I got choice quotations from the spirit of prophecy. Okay, and made those the moments that we connect with God in prayer in those groups. So, how does that work? Confession, communion, commitment, 7 C's, okay, that we have, and we go along 7 weeks. This is happening simultaneously to those leaders being trained. So small groups is happening in prayer while we're training the leaders for evangelistic small groups. The church has already started small groups, but they don't even know it yet. We're just calling them prayer groups. You got it? So I'll stand up in front of the church and ask, who would be willing to make their homes prayer centers for 7 weeks? So we have 7 days of the week. Okay, so this person say, I'll take a day. Which day will you take? Sundays. So for the next 7 Sundays, your home is a prayer center. Okay, I'll take Monday. For the next 7 Mondays, your home is a prayer center. Okay, I'll take Tuesday. And you have 7 weeks of prayer happening 7 days a week. Got it? Now, some members may say, Pastor, we can't go to all them prayer meetings. No, you choose a day that works for you. And I say it to the family that's hosting the prayer group. If nobody comes, you are part of the church. You have it with your family. You understand? But make sure that it happens. You don't want it to not happen. That chain should go on for 7 weeks. So, all of that. And we end the 7 weeks with the last C, which is communion. And we have a communion service to end the 7 weeks of prayer. By that time, the leaders are sufficiently trained. And then, at the end of that communion service, watch this now, we make a link. You have a short mini graduation where you pretty much just pass out the certificates and you really connect with the folk and tell them about the training and the journey. After you've already done that, then now those small group leaders are strategically placed at different points in the church. And we ask persons who would be willing to join a group to go in the area. The small group leaders already trained to go get their information, give them that the leader's information, and they connected. Their core group have already been meeting and planning and the rest of it. And within 3 weeks, we give them a 3-week chance so they could get every last minute detail done. They will then launch their social meeting within 3 weeks, and then they take off. Once the 10 weeks are done, they've been studying in those groups all along, then we have an evangelistic series. So the people, now you're connecting them to the church. in more detail. So that's why I say that document would have given you a real powerful answer. So now you have the evangelistic meeting. So the people who were studying with you there, it's easier now for them to come to the evangelistic meeting because they already have a family that's going to be there. The evangelistic meeting ends. Once the evangelistic meeting ends, the same day, the same moment, the same time that they are baptized, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we say to them, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as we lay hands on them. And they come out of the pool. Once they get out of the pool that very evening, we have them receive the right hand of fellowship. Don't wait until the next week. You may not see them the next week. Give them their stuff right there and then. Receive them into the family of God. Now, once that happens, the small group leaders know that even though the group is on break, their work is not done. They are responsible. Maybe take your apprentice leader for keeping in touch with them and letting them know that they can feel free to be a part of the next cycle of meetings when it starts again. You got it? So they would be already bonded to people in the church. They would have already made those connections in your group. So it's going to be harder for them now to move out there. When that is done, the following week, you have Small Group Mania Day. That's the day where you celebrate the small groups. Those new converts are all going to be testifying during your group time of 15 minutes. And it's a celebration. Each group come with their colors and placards and banners. And they talk about their 10 weeks. They talk about the evangelistic experience. The new believers will talk about their conversion experiences and all of that. It's one glorious time together. And then you say to them, within a month from now, we are going to launch our next series of small group meetings. And you repeat that cycle all over again. All right? I hope I helped.
You're probably getting into different topics, I'm assuming. Like, you might go into, like, you're not doing the exact same 10-week study again. You're going into...
For sure, for sure. Okay. That's why the corporate wing, the pastor, his designee, I always say to pastors, you need to have a lay pastor that's only responsible for small groups. Don't give them any other responsibility in the church. Don't do that. If you clutter them with too much, you're giving them an excuse to find something else to do. One thing only. That person has to have a this one thing I do. Trust me, they will be busy enough. All right?
How do you get people into the small group to start with? Non-members.
Oh, you missed day one?
No, I was here, but I'm...
Oh, day one, we dealt with that. Well, we said, you, as a person, right, you make a list of all the people that you want. People that you know. Start there, okay? And then pray for those people that you know. Day two can also let you know of other people that may be interested. All right, when you get your core team together, your core team will also do the same thing. Make a list of people that they know. So you will have a pool of people to pull from. All right? Okay. How much more time I have? That's important.
You have another 40 minutes.
40 minutes? Oh, great. Hallelujah. Don't change it. I see you still looking at your clock. Don't change it. All right. We have the challenge of this new millennium. What's the challenge of this new millennium? Growing Christians and making Christians. Small groups offer both. They're very different. Yes.
I have a question before you go. I have a fair amount of cross-cultural experience, and I'm just wondering what the experience is with Caucasians, because Caucasians are a lot more difficult to bind together.
A lot more difficult?
We don't bind together like other
cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've worked in New York City. And in New York City, He got every nation under heaven there. Believe me when I say, I've had small groups with Caucasians, Asians, Africans, Hispanics, Native American.
You haven't struggled with the Caucasians being involved?
Nope. Nope. No. I've never had that experience. I would say it this way. Small groups is a kind of, I want to say this the right way. I want to be clear when I say this. Small groups have a way of taking people from any culture and bonding them together. At the base of small groups is relationships. Relationships exist in every culture. No matter how cold the human being is, you continue to show that human being love, they will respond. That's just been my experience. Okay? And so, if you are a part of a Caucasian church, small groups will work in your setting if it is done the right way. You cannot Let me say it this way. Close your ears, Pastor. If your pastor, I'm only kidding. If your pastor is not involved in getting your small group ministries up, running, and going, it will never take root in your church. Never. So more than a cultural issue, I've found in my experience, it's a pastoral issue. Pastors have invited me to come into the church to do small group ministry training. I do all this training, sweat, and you know I could sweat already. Y'all see that. I sweat the whole time. The pastor show up at one meeting, right? And the members already get the picture. They're not stupid. They get the picture. The personal ministry leader wants this to happen in the church. And they invited me, and the pastor says, okay, I'll let it happen, but I'm not really interested. And he said that by his actions. Okay? So no matter what church you're in the Adventist church, a lot of things rise and fall on pastoral leadership. Okay? So if your pastor is involved, I'm just trying to tell you, I'm being real with you. If small groups is just a program in your church, it will fail. Small groups has to become the life of your church. My church board meetings are done like small groups. I have icebreakers in my church board meetings. Okay? My elders board meetings, we play together. We plan a retreat each year together. I operate it like a small group. I'm communicating by word and action that this is the life of the church. We will be doing this as long as I'm the pastor here. And if it's done correctly, when I'm gone, when the new pastor comes, pastor, this church is a church not with small groups. It's a church of small groups. Which is a big difference. Okay? So, in every culture, small group ministry can work. I've seen, just my experience, I've seen that the Hispanics have really bought into small groups more than any other culture I know. They are gung-ho about small groups. And they don't just do small groups in church environment. They do small groups with church planting. There's no conference in this division that's planting more churches than the Greater New York Conference, the conference that I'm now leaving. I worked there for 5 years. None. You know what? we have a very strong Hispanic presence there. The Hispanics, with no budget, will start a small group in somebody's house. 6 months later, that's a church. That's the way they do it. And they ain't coming to the conference for a dollar. But that's a church. They the small group spawn. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I mean, they're growing faster than mice reproduce. It's just, they just quick, right? Yeah, but they're bought into a small group model. So they don't need to come in a big church to have a church come out of it. No, they reverse it. And they do it in a small church. They don't believe in large churches. They believe in many churches. So most of their churches are small churches, but they got a whole lot of churches. Okay?
I would say, Pastor, that that's an example of a culture that is very much oriented around groups. You know, and some cultures are more individualistic. Small groups will work in any culture, but there are some cultures that just get it.
Yeah.
And there are other cultures we have to work a little harder for.
Yeah.
This will work and does work in Caucasians.
And I think it would work well in a Caucasian setting. Why? Because Caucasians have a strong view of family already. That's true. That's true. That is true. And even the lonely ones, they're looking for a family. You understand what I'm saying? Hispanics have a very high view of family too. Very high. Okay? So I think it's not something that's far-fetched for Caucasians to be involved. Okay? People are looking for community. They're looking for a place to belong. All right? So we got to grow Christians and we got to make Christians. The Bible says, go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples, and I will be with you. I just love that version. I don't even remember what version it is, but I just loved it. All right? The way it's rendered, it's really, really intimate. You know? Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples, and I will be with you. Did you hear from?
Yeah, she's bringing them over.
Okay, wonderful. All right. What is a disciple? An apprentice and an apprentice maker. All right. I'm coming to you now. I'm coming up your street. All right. An apprentice and an apprentice maker. Meaning that a disciple is somebody who follows and leads at the same time. Okay? So, you following Christ, somebody following you, and the mentoring is happening as discipleship is also going on. All right? Two disciplines of discipleship, edification and evangelism. Okay? The two disciplines of discipleship. What we're trying to do here is make disciples for the kingdom of God. Small groups is the best way to do it. All right? So let's flesh these out a little bit here now. In edification, we are growing in holiness. That means we're in the Word. That's this is not there in the booklets. All right? This is a different presentation, all right, that I use when I relate to pastoral teams and stuff like that. All right? But I thought I would share it with you so that you'll be connected to the experience too. All right, edification, that's a spiritual body bonding. All right, Ephesians 1:23 says the church is the body of Christ. All right, so there's a Greek word there, oikodomeo, which means building up or strengthening. 1 Corinthians 14:27, let all things be done for the building up of the church. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build community. Ephesians 4:8 and 12, give gifts to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So you're building believers. All right? Encourage one another and build each other up. Spiritual disciplines. We talked about some of them already. All right? Through ministry gifts or spiritual gifts, rather. Through accountable relationships. Through mentoring. These are the ways that you're building people up edification, right? People grow faster in small groups. Dale Galloway, anybody know of him? Dale Galloway, I love his writings, okay? He says, I believe that people grow at least 8 times faster when they're in a small group and attending weekly worship celebration on Sabbath than if they attended just the service itself. Alright? Everybody is a part. Christ ministers to his body through body members. He ministers to me through other body members. See, my members just went over where the members are. Okay, it's under the chair over there. All right. I don't know what happened there. Other body members. All right. And he ministers through me to other body members. So we're all involved, all connected. God uses people to build up other people. Amen. God has so ordained things that we grow through in the spirit only through the frail instrumentality of one another. Wow. That's Alan Jones. Anybody know Alan Jones? Anybody? If you find books written by Alan Jones on small group ministry, buy it. He's really good. All right? Alan Jones. Mentoring. We're building friendships that point people to God and each other. Okay, a friend, to keep us on course. James Houston, another prolific writer on small group ministry, makes it very clear. Sin always tends to make us blind to our own faults. We need a friend to stop us from deceiving ourselves that what we are doing is not so bad after all. We need a friend to help us overcome our low self-image, inflated self-importance, selfishness, pride, our deceitful nature, our dangerous fantasies, and so much else. Alright? So we have two alternatives. A mature believer meeting with another believer for one-way mentoring, or you have two mature believers meeting for mutual mentorship. So wherever you are on the spectrum, you can still connect. All right, very important. How does it work? We agree to plan, we agree to meet regularly, we reflect on what God is doing in our lives, we pray for each other. That's access partners that you'll see in the manuals there. Access partners. All right, so the mentors offer some things: encouragement, prayer support, challenging, a friend that I can be real with, and that type of stuff. So, evangelism. I want you to look at this slide. Just suppose, right? At a small church of 50 members, involved in small groups, grow by 20% per year. Example, a group of 10 grows to 12. The total group after 4 years, total in the groups after 4 years would be 100. Total groups after 10 years would be 310. Total groups after 15 years would be 770. Think about that. But you're just trying to grow by 20%. Every year. Start where you are, wherever you are, and grow out from there. Okay? So evangelism, growing in numbers. We have a challenge on our hands to reach an unchurched majority, postmodern thinking, and cross-cultural differences. This is a challenge to the church in our world today. All right, I have a lot of stories that I could tell you based on these three. But in the essence of time, we want us to practice. So in the essence of time, I won't be able to do that. All right? Engel talks about, anybody ever read about Engel or read Engel's work? Okay, he does some work that really tracks the process of discipleship and how it works. It's a powerful, powerful work. Okay? He says, you lead people from no awareness of God, then they have an awareness of God, they have a little knowledge, understand the basics, grasp the implications, positive attitude, intention to act, decision to act. That's how he kind of says the process runs. All right, and I like his work because it really gives you a deep understanding of the process of how we make decisions and move forward. Then, after that, you're a new creature. Okay? So, where are the unchurched on the list? They're in the middle there. Then, They move there, and then now we want to move them to that point. All right? Friendship evangelism, stage one friendship, stage two Christian friendship, stage three Adventist friendship. Did you see that? Did you catch that? You just started being a friend. You're not telling them where you go to church or anything. You're just concerned about them. All right? Then you have Christian friendship. Well, you know I'm a Christian. Okay? And then, okay, you're a Christian, so why do you go to church? And then you say, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And the relationship moves along that process. This combines personal and group public evangelistic witness. All right? The power of friendship. We see it here. All right? The dropouts. You see that? In the first year. Active members. Those who are active. Okay? And the dropouts.
The more friends they develop.
There you go. The less the dropouts. Yeah. The less you have dropouts. Okay? And that's the power of friendship in church. So, to your point earlier, King Lee Keith, whenever they come to a small group, it's more likely that they will connect to the church if it's done right.
Sure.
If it's done right. Okay? So, and you introduce your friends to the group. Nice Nari. Okay? When you're introducing friends to the group, you pray that God will guide you and other Christians he wants in the group. All right? Take other group members to Bible study contacts. Okay? Offer something of interest. Parenting seminar. Stress testing. And all that kind of stuff. All right? Introduce friends to groups socially. Anniversary, birthday, barbecue. You know, you heard me talk about stuff like that all week long. And it's there in the thing. All right? Introduce a course of Christian beliefs. Amazing facts. I love them. All right? All the colors and the way it's designed is really beautiful. Okay? So we do that. And then just invite them to the group. Okay? So, evangelism, work in small groups. How? They encourage teamwork. Offer a bridge for shy people. Personal and informal. We did all of these already. Just review here. Maximum participation. And they're flexible. Meaning that you're not just stuck. I had a guy who said to me, Pastor, I'm not just stuck. I'm stuck in stuck.
All right.
That's a bad place to be. All right? They cost. You want to see your church evangelism budget be cut in half in 1 year. Well, that's money you will have there through small groups. You know why? Because when needs arise in the church, the first point of contact is not the church board to give a handout. No, it's that small group. Because you're caring for each other. You're loving each other. You're sharing with each other. Okay? And so when that happens, your small group will be caring for people and your community services budget won't be shot and your evangelism budget won't be shot because you're caring for others. Okay? Localized evangelism, it happens in your culture. It's natural and spontaneous. You be yourself, share Jesus, and people will come. All right? So, one, you have an opportunity for questions to be asked in a safe environment. Transparent honesty, authentic relationships, and it's real stuff that they could relate to in their everyday lives. All right? So, the equipping track. Notice I wanted to talk to you about this. The equipping track. All right? Each new convert is placed on an equipping track that seeks to mature that person and equip them for ministry within 1 year. Remember I talked about this? I told you I would get to this today. All right? The equipping track. So, what happens? First, the person is invited into membership. Once they get into membership, then we want to help them build, through small groups, their spiritual disciplines. That means we want to make sure that they're praying, that they're reading the Bibles, that they're connecting to people who could encourage them when they go through those difficult moments in their walk with the Lord. Okay? And that happens best when they're in a small group experience. Okay? Let them find their spiritual gifts. So, within that year, you do a spiritual gifts inventory. If it's not in your small group, make sure it's done in your church. Okay? So ask your pastor. We have some new people here. They need to know where they fit in, where their gifts are. Okay? And encourage them to use their gifts for ministry. Because if they know the purpose for their existence in Christ, in church, they will not run away from the church. Because they would find their niche. And they would definitely be involved. And then now, remember I gave a quote yesterday. Was it to this group or the afternoon group? Where I talked about Rick Warren. Rick Warren gave a gift to the evangelical church. And it's called The Purpose-Driven Church, The Purpose-Driven Life. Any of you have seen those books? In The Purpose-Driven Life, he says these words. The Purpose-Driven Church, sorry. He says these words. You do not have a true disciple until the evangelized becomes an evangelizer. Then you have. Because that person who has been affected by the gift of God's grace is extending that grace to others.
Fruit of a disciple is another disciple.
There you go. So now, by the end of the year, in my churches, right, I say to new converts, at the end of your first year of experiencing God here, we expect you to bring others to give their hearts to Jesus. That's not something that we leave to chance. That's an expectation. And we are equipping you all year long to make it happen. Does the person know everything yet? No. They're just simply a witness. What is a witness? A witness is a person who tells whatever they have seen, heard, or felt. The woman at the well. All she knew about was men. That's all she knew. And so when she went into town and said to all the other men, come see a man. They say, well, we got to go because she know about men. That's her witness. So let's go with her. And she led all of them to Jesus. That's where we, as new, as older ones, help the young believers to come into their own in Christ. So that's the four-step equipping track that we use for it. Now, your groups that are evangelistic, this is how, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much.
I did all the accounting.
I must say that this lady was very patient with me in the process. I should have gotten this to her a long time ago, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so you can just pass them around. I kind of went through it earlier. I won't go through it again. You can read that in your spare time as you go along. And save the rest for the group that come this evening. So let's pay attention right here quick. Here's how your group, let me say this first. There are generally two types of group that you will have in your church. One would be evangelistic, and two would be personal growth. Two types of groups, generally speaking. Okay? So, if your group is evangelistic, then you are looking toward a process of making disciples. If your group is about personal growth, then Your group is more concerned with how a person develops in his or her spiritual experience along a 10-week journey. What I'm sharing with you here is evangelistic small groups. That means that we are doing edification and evangelism. That means that we are growing internally, and we are also going to make disciples. Okay? So it's all happening together in this process of multiplication. So, all week long, we've been dealing with kind of personal growth. Today now, this is evangelistic. Okay? So, here's how it works. You have the cell group leader. When the group meets, the cell leader would have already identified an apprentice leader. The apprentice leader works with the small group leader to organize and everything a part of the core team, and the leader assigns the apprentice responsibilities that are going to prepare that person to lead his or her own group when the experience is over. You got it? So, just how it is here, when the group meets, that apprentice leader sits immediately across from the leader. Why is that? Because you can see everything that's going on from your vantage point. All right? And that apprentice leader, you can make eye contact with easier without looking left or right and people knowing, hey, you know, something's really going on here. All right? So let them sit right. That's a learning position right across from. Okay? Then, after the group grows, and I say to evangelistic small groups, when your group gets to about 16 to 18, your group, and that's 16 to 18 that's attending for more than 4 weeks of the journey. All right? Your group is about ready to divide, to give birth. Okay? So, what happens now is the apprentice leader, watch this, takes about 3 or 4 of these persons and they now go and start another group.
Wait to the end of the cycle, or do you just do it immediately?
No. At the end of the cycle. No, you don't want to trouble the cycle. At the end of the cycle now. All right? Takes 3 or 4. You want to be a part of the process as the pastor and leader. In that, you don't want the 4 that go with the apprentice leader to be new converts. You want to be wise about that. You don't want them to be new converts because they've not even been on the equipping track yet. Okay? So you want to take those persons who might have been in the church a little longer, and if those new believers want to join that group again for another 10 weeks, so be it. Don't disturb them. Let it be. Got it? All right? And so now the apprentice leader and his 4 starts another group. So what is the responsibility of the group that the apprentice leader left? That group now becomes the mother for this group. You get it? And then the same process keeps going on. That new leader now finds an apprentice, and after the journey, now the question is, would after every 10-12 weeks and the evangelistic series is done, the group is ready to divide? No. You watch for the group's maturity. That's why I said it before. The small group pastor is the one who says to the church pastor, I think this group is ready now to give birth. Okay? And then the pastor would ask you for all the details surrounding that. And you'll say, well, I've watched this group. And I've seen that this group here, I mean, they have about 17 people now that's coming to the group. It's bigger than the 15 that we want. I think we are ready now to divide this group and start another group. And the same process, make a list of people, the whole deal. The apprentice leader, who was the apprentice leader, now the leader of this new group, starts that again with those four people, and they build out. Okay? And could you imagine if this continues to happen, what will happen to your church? Wow! And so this is how the groups multiply. Okay? And it keeps going and going again. All right, Lord.
I have to say that giving yourself a month off between group cycles is a brilliant time to multiply a group. Because if you're going every week, people don't want to leave. But when that group comes to a natural end, now the apprentice leader can take some, and it works very well.
Absolutely. Because you have time now to re-strategize and to replan and to do, yeah. Beautiful point, Pastor. Okay, so let's repeat this prayer together. And let's see if we can get about 5 minutes or so of practice in, and we'll be done. Okay, let's go together. Lord, lead us. To those people, y'all not with me, come on. Read it, come on everybody. Lord, lead us to those people, or lead those people to us whom you want to include in this group. That's the prayer that you begin, even before you start the process, and watch God move.
I had a dream last night.
You had a dream?
And I'm not a dreamer, but I had a dream last night that I started a small group. And there were names that God gave me of people that I actually, that used to work with me, that are non-Adventist, that he's leading me to. And I woke up so nervous.
Why nervous?
Shaking, because I'm like, well, I do know of one. I mean, I was her manager, and she got mad one day, and just, because she just was in conflict with me being her superior because of my skin color, obviously.
Oh my Lord.
It was a real challenge. And so in the end, it was beautiful because she wrote me a text after she left and said, you know, all along I knew you meant good, but I fought you against that.
Wow.
And last night I woke up, this morning I woke up with her on my heart.
Amen.
And so I think I was really, that's how God seems to work with me, that I become very nervous about things, and then he just works with me through it. And so
you're going
to
be just fine. You need to call her up and invite her to a small group. All right, let's go circle up, everybody, quickly. Now, those who got a chance yesterday, you're off today. That means that you won't get a chance to lead a group today. All right.
Yeah, I get my escape.
Come on, get close. Circle up. All right. So who are we going to start out with as a leader today? How about you?
No, I made eye contact.
You got it. You made eye contact.
I didn't look like that.
So what, am I a storyteller? All right. So here goes. Let's give some responsibilities now. All right. He's the leader, but not the leader. He's the encourager. The joker. Miss Passive.
Nothing.
He's the Don.
I was that yesterday.
Okay. We're going to make you Mr. Defensive. Okay? You got a fighter. You're the fighter. Yeah. All right? We're going to make your wife the skeptic. The skeptic. All right? We're going to make...
I'm going to be skeptic.
We're going to make you Mr... We're going to make you...
Mr. Friendly.
A mover. The mover. No, not mover. The technician. You're trying to fix everybody's problems in the group. Alright? Alright? And I gave you one already. You're the final one, right? And we're going to make nice Nari a storyteller. Okay? Great. Ready? Set? Go.
Well, welcome everyone to our small group today. I thought we would hand out some cards if everyone wants to come pass around. And we will then ask for a volunteer to go for their do we have a volunteer? Would you like to volunteer?
Sure. If you had 4 more hours each day, what would you do with the extra time?
I really like this question because I have wished that I had more hours in my day often. And so, what would I do with my extra time? I would spend one-on-one time with my children. And I would read my Bible a little bit.
I think we should go around the circle and everyone has a question.
Two minutes. Final minute.
When I think about what God has done for me throughout my life, then that encourages me to think that I'm worth something to God. And so if I'm worth something to God, then maybe my neighbor is worth something to God.
That's what you said. It's a beginning of change too. When you first have to acknowledge that that you don't love yourself, and then want to do something about it. So it's a good place to be. Mm-hmm.
This is where your prayer time comes in, isn't it? God can give you that sort of wisdom.
Yes. Because there's probably something deeper.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
I think we enjoyed our 5, so much we actually just
4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, all right.
I've got a good quiz.
Okay, here we go. What? Take a minute and critique your leader.
You kept the ball rolling.
Yes.
Yeah. She did.
I didn't have time.
She's a good apprentice.
And
she seemed to be relaxed and had a nice smile on her face while she was doing it. She didn't look nervous.
Okay.
I felt like she cared about her group.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I mean, try to include everyone.
What could she have done better now?
Get us to play our role better.
I
actually thought about it at one point, but then I got nervous because I'm a little bit of a shy person myself. I remember you saying that the passive person,
didn't have a chance.
Sometimes if you put them on the spot, then they don't want
to
be there.
Yeah, but
I wasn't sure how to do it.
But to engage her, okay, you ask her. So she doesn't think that you're forgetting her. Let her say yes or no. If she says no, remember yesterday, the passive person to her, she handled that brilliantly yesterday. When the passive person, I don't remember who the passive person was in the group yesterday, but when they said, I really don't want to talk about it right now. When she said, okay, no problem, and she just kept moving. So at least you acknowledging,
okay.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, our time is gone. We had a wonderful week together.
Yeah, we did.
And I am really hopeful that the little bit that we've gotten this week, that we would take it, we would use it in our varied contexts, and build up the kingdom of God. At the end of the day, that's what we're all about, building relationships to build up the kingdom of God. May God help each and every one of you to prove faithful until he comes. And if I don't get a chance to meet you again and do small group with you again down here, let's be a part of that great number that no man can number in the kingdom of God. All right. God bless you. God bless you.
We want to have a special prayer for you. Come and sit in the chair.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it so much, so much, so much.
That's okay. So, any particular specifics that we can pray for you about today?
You can pray for me. I'm about to make a big move in my career. I'm moving from Greater New York to Florida. The Southeastern Conference. So pray for me that when I get there and start to work with young adults, that I'll be used by God.
Amen. When is that move?
Now.
Oh. Right now. The moving trucks will be at my house on Monday.
When you get
home. I leave Sunday, and the moving trucks will be there Monday. Oh, wow. I have to be there for work on the 29th, which is next week's hours.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, brother, we have appreciated you so much.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And so we have 3 people praying. I'm going to ask Judith to close.
Okay.
And so let's lay hands on Ricardo. And if you feel impressed to pray, please go ahead, and then Judith will close for us.
Lord, we thank you for this time we've been able to spend together through the last few days.
Yes.
It's been very, very precious. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we thank you that we have learned some important things about spiritual leadership, especially as it relates to working with groups, small groups. And so we thank you for Ricardo's testimony and his work. And we pray for your blessing on his life.
Yes, God.
May he continue to help to spawn new groups
so that we'll be all together in your kingdom, we pray.
Yes, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessing that this group has given to me and to all those who come to it. Mm-hmm. Thank you that Pastor Ricardo has encouraged us and equipped us with perhaps new ways to look at small groups and the way you may grow your kingdom. And to see with him as he starts a new chapter in his life, with you and his family, and so go out and be blessings in Florida. And yes, thank you that we can have this time together. And thank you for being our very best friend. And maybe all have that close relationship with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful.
Yes, Lord.
We're so thankful. Our hearts are overflowing with joy from the experience we've had this week, that you have used your manservant in such an amazing way.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm. And Lord, you have given us tools now to use. May we not leave here the same.
Mm-hmm.
May we go and equip men and women for your kingdom.
Yes,
we know that this is the best place to be.
Mm-hmm.
We know that this is a trying time in earth history. And Lord, we just want to be used by you.
Yes,
so I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
That as we leave this place,
yes,
that we will be ignited. That we will never lose sight of what you have given us.
Amen.
And may we run this race that is
set before us
with mighty boldness. We ask for our special anointing on Ricardo.
Yes, God.
That as he leaves this place, that you have placed him in a new place. And Lord, it's not new material that he will be sharing. But I pray that you will give him a double portion of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And as he moves forward to the Florida Conference, that he will be the light that you have set him to be. And that young people and old people and middle-aged people will see the need to reach others for your kingdom. So that this work can be finished here on earth. And we can go home to that place that you're preparing for us.
Yes, Lord.
So I just thank you for your guidance upon him. I thank you for his leading and his leadership. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray, like Peter, that he will stand like a brave with his face to the floor.
Amen.
And that whatever may come his way, that he will know that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that he can ask or imagine.
Amen. Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for your prayers. Keep on praying for me, because I know that ministry will not be easy. But if God brings me to it, you'll take me through it.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your wife, too, because she's probably doing all the
packing. Right now, she is. Yeah. She's packing up. I wish I could be there to help.